Well, hello, it is the top of the hour. I'm Tom Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. This week, we're talking about time management. How can we make the most of the time we've got? Now, this program, Lead Yourself First, is focused on you. It's your personal growth program. Andy Stanley said, in the areas that matter most, a burst of energy and activity cannot reverse the consequences that accompany a season of neglect. And Lead Yourself First is your system to help you avoid that season of neglect. Your ongoing investment in you, your participation in these calls, allows you to continue to make that investment in you. And I'm glad you're here for this call, and I encourage you to keep going. And by now you know for sure that I always make a challenge at the top of these lessons. Think about how you're going to act. How can you change as a result of the things that you are that you're doing, this lesson? How can you take the ideas from this lesson and turn it into something that you can apply, change, or teach? What's an idea you can use and use right away? What is something you could change based on what we're talking about? And I think today's lesson is pretty darn practical. And so I'm hopeful that that will set you up for success by thinking about what you can change. And then finally, T, what can you teach others? And I want to be clear about this. Again, we're not talking about you getting on a call or a webinar or in front of a room full of people to teach. Take an idea and share it with somebody you know. That's really what we're after. So I know you may get tired of hearing me say that I've been looking forward to this lesson, but I have been looking forward to this lesson. And I look forward to it because I have exactly the same amount of time that everybody else has. Not enough. I've got lots of things that I want to do, and I often think, man, I wish I could just squeeze a couple more things in. So in this lesson, I'm going to share some practical and useful ideas about time with you and give you some things you can put into practice immediately. And if you do that, you're going to get a ton from this lesson. And for some of you, you're going to want some more in-depth work in this area. You want maybe some help in putting these ideas into practice. And so at the end of the lesson, I commit to you that I'm going to make that available to you. Fair enough? Well, let's get started. Let's talk about time. I don't think in the history of mankind we have ever been more busy or more time-starved than we are right this minute. When somebody asks, how you doing? Do you ever answer busy? You know that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when your boss comes to you and says, got a minute? And you know you really don't. I feel this way a lot. I'm kind of a task-oriented guy, and I get overwhelmed with busyness. And I think most of us feel that way from time to time. Even my 14-year-old says he feels that way. Business leaders for years have been challenging us to do more with less, and our to-do lists just keep getting longer and longer. So what do you do about that? Well, in this lesson, we're going to talk about a method you can use to set some time aside and a technique to help you find that elusive focus. Management thought leader Peter Drucker said, nothing else distinguishes effective executives as much as their tender, loving care of time. But the fact is that none of us gets any extra time. We all end up with exactly the same amount. We get 24 hours a day for 7 days. That's 168 hours a week, period. Everybody. That's all we all get. Carl Sandburg said, time is the most valuable coin in your life. And you alone will determine how that coin will be spent. Be careful that you do not let other people spend it for you. Be careful that you do not let other people spend it for you. The fact is that most people overestimate what they can do in a month, and they underestimate what they can do in an hour. And so that leads us to the question, how can we get to the most? In today's lesson, we're going to talk about two big ideas. One, what are your priorities? And two, how can you time block in such a way that you're going to get the most from focused effort? Now, you ever feel like your time isn't your own, that you don't get to choose how to spend that coin? You ever feel like you're constantly being overrun by people who have endless lists of tasks that are urgent? You know, failure to plan ahead on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on my part, except it usually does. Well, let's talk about how you can get on top of your time. We're really talking about how to set priorities. And most of the time, most organizations really do a lousy job of setting and keeping priorities. And I was talking with a client the other day, and he said that they keep approving new projects without factoring in the current workload. So what happens is there's too many projects happening at once, and they don't stop doing the things that are low priority work. And so everybody is super overloaded. And when there's a conflict between project A and project B, what they do is that most of the leaders say, well, you figure it out. And they assume that you're clever and you're going to find a way to do both projects. But here's what we know. Despite your best efforts, you can only do one thing at a time. Seriously, I don't have time today during the lesson to go into the research on how terrible multitasking is for your performance, but it absolutely is. And essentially, your boss is asking you to make the call. Which of these projects is most important? So what do you pick? Well, if we're going to keep it real, you're going to pick the one that you want to do the most. And maybe you want to do it because it's the easiest, or maybe it's the most fun. Maybe it's the one where you're going to get the most pats on the back or the fewest people yelling at you. Regardless, you are making the call, and realistically, you're probably not thinking about the things that your boss or your boss's boss would want you to think about. So if we take a few steps back and we think about this, is that the right thing to do? Is that the right way to go about making these important decisions? And if you'll permit me to be a bit direct with you, the things that we choose to do, the things that we actually put on our calendar, these things express, well, they express the things that are the most important to us. And it's hard to think about that, because when you look at your calendar, if you honestly look at it, are you investing the most time in the things that matter the most? And Stephen Covey's message from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People essentially is we ought to think about what's really important rather than the fire that's currently burning in front of us. And I was recently working with a company that absolutely struggled with this. I mean, they fought fires every single day. And it got so bad in their failure to set priorities and their failure to plan and their failure to organize and their failure to say no that I literally went on eBay and I bought toy fire trucks, little matchbox car-sized toy fire trucks, and I gave one to each of the leaders. It's not that there's never an urgent problem. There's always going to be some incidence of urgent problems. The problem is that when we wait until everything is urgent, we just can't make any progress. It's painful. And how do you decide what to work on? How should you decide what to work on? Now, I've got an entire program on priorities and how to go about setting them, so I can't really do a complete deep dive here, but it's really important to figure out where do you want to put your time, and even more importantly than that, where you won't put your time. I touched on this a second ago. Saying no is important, and it's hard, but when you learn to say no to the right things, you can say yes to the best things, and that is incredibly valuable. So that's the concept of our priorities. We decide what we should work on, and then, by definition, what we shouldn't. Because when you decide to do A, you're also deciding to not do B, C, or D. And I think that's something that we fail to consider. I tend to get overscheduled and overcommitted in recognizing where my limits are, what I can reasonably accomplish, and often it's very different from what I would like to be able to accomplish. But when we can set our priorities, it allows us to make good decisions. So let me turn the corner and talk about a tool that you can use called time blocking. I want you to take a second and I want you to think about your perfect day. If you had a day that was absolutely perfect, How would you organize your time? Think about the work that you do today. What would you work on? If your day was an unbelievably great day, just perfect, what would that look like? And I don't mean the cold drinks on the beach under an umbrella kind of thing. What I mean is, based on the current job that you have, if your day was marked out into chunks of time that were ideal, what would that look like? I mean, every one of us spends some time in meetings, some in planning, some in communicating, and some in actually doing the work. So as you think about your perfect day, what percentage of your day would be in meetings? And the number's not zero, because if you want to get work done, you have to coordinate with others, and coordinating with others requires meetings. So there's some percentage of your day that's in meetings. Some percent is in doing the work, and for some of you, and for you, it might be that you're responsible for, as an individual contributor, doing work. You might be a manager of individual contributors or a manager of managers, in which case you're going to be responsible for making sure the work gets done. So what percentage of your day would be in doing the work? How about in communicating work status? What percentage of your day would you want to do? Now look at your actual calendar, the actual ways that you've been spending your time. Is there a difference between where you feel like you should be spending your time and where you actually spend time? What specifically can you do to take back that time? What can you do to reorder your most valuable coin, your time, to match your ideal day? We're talking about putting your priorities on the calendar, forcing there to be time to do the things that need to be done. Now, before you say, Tom, that's impossible, let me challenge you in this way. Let me ask you this question. What if it works? What if you could organize most of your schedule to fit in the things that really matter? Time does not permit in this lesson to go deeply into this topic, but let's talk about that for a second. You need to think hard about this. What can you do to be intentional about taking back your time? What things do you do, and what things should you do? And are you working on the things that are the highest value? Because if you're not, then I think you need to have some thought and then some conversation about ways that you can organize. Unless you're a heart surgeon or you're the only tech on call for Google.com, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to convince me that it's impossible to set aside a small period of time to focus without interruption. And I get it. I don't know what it's like for you. Your situation's unique, right? And I usually hear this from folks who are on call, or maybe they're in a customer-facing role where your availability matters. But even folks in that situation can usually find some time during the week to focus on getting work done. And that's what I want to talk about now. As you look at your calendar, and you think about where you're spending time today, how can you be organized in such a way to deliver the things you need to deliver? If you think about your calendar's not perfect today, right? You don't have as much time on the things that you'd like to have. It's just not there. So what do you need to do to reorder your time to match that ideal day? Now, we're not talking about making every day identical. You might have some things that once a month you have something that has to be done and your day is going to be different. Or a couple of times a week you've got things that are variables that would change. But what if your calendar was perfect? And what if the right amount of time was set aside for the right things? How might that change the results that you get? You know, I think there are probably two categories of things that are not on your calendar today. One is time to focus and think deeply and plan and organize. I think we're so busy in our culture today that we don't have time to plan. And we often don't even have time to think. So I want to encourage you to be intentional about making time to think. Now this time to think, I call that focus time. And This is where you get a chance to kind of block out the world. And you get to put your brain into the right zone to be able to do the work. You're getting away from that ringing telephone, that instant message, that barrage of emails. And you're focusing on what really, really matters. That's what I call focus time. And that's what we're talking about. How do we get the time to really go deep? And then we all have that situation where something comes up, and the thing that comes up is a big problem. And all of a sudden, what we had planned gets blown away because we have to focus on this emergency thing that just came up. It's that thing that happens when somebody walks into your space and they come see you and they say, "Houston, we have a problem. We've got to figure out what we're going to do." And this is where influencer Jim Rohn said, "Either you run the day or the day runs you." And what we're talking about here is how do you begin to have time? You know that you're going to have problems. So how do you begin to have time to focus on those problems when they come up? Well, if you put into your calendar focus time to focus and do the work, and you also put into your calendar white space. White space is when you leave room in your calendar. I don't know what it's going to be, but this week something is going to happen, and it's going to take up 3 or 4 hours of my time, or it's going to take up a day of my time, or whatever. And I don't know what it is. I don't even know exactly when it's going to be there, but I've planned my calendar, leaving enough room in my calendar to tackle those things. I want to encourage you to think about marking that time down on your calendar, setting yourself up to be able to have your calendar organized in such a way that you have the room to think and you have the room to tackle those things that exploded all over you. And that's what we wanted to make sure that we can do. Have that space in your calendar. Now, the thing is, you might say, "But Tom, you don't understand. I'm a person who is always in demand. I always am on call. I'm always responsible." Well, I would challenge that, because most of the time, in most roles, especially roles that are more senior in nature, it's possible to teach people that you'll do a better job serving them in a time or place where you can give them 100% of your attention instead of some slice of attention. And if you tell people, "Hey, I'm committed to being present for you and to delivering great value for you, but I can't do it right now. I need to set aside some time when I really can do that." And I'll give you an example. I got a client who's in the mortgage lending business. It's a very high touch, short patience world. If you can't respond to people, you lose deals. And he told me he never could be away from his phone. He never could not respond, because everything that came up might actually be super urgent, might be critical to tackle. So you know what he did? He would tell his clients that he had a callback window. He had a voicemail message. "Hi, this is Joe. To skip this message, hit 7. I'm looking forward to helping you. Today is whatever day it is, and I'm working all day. I check my messages and return calls at 11, at 1, and at 3. Please leave me a message, and I will call you back during one of those windows. If this is urgent, please hit 9 and ask for my assistant, Lewis." He also set up an email autoresponder when you would get an email. "Thanks for your email. I'm working today. I'll be checking email and responding at 10, 12, and 4. And then this is an interesting one. This was actually hard for him. He really struggled with this particular one. His assumption was that every time somebody asked for something, they needed it right stinking now. And so we worked on coming up with a plan where he would ask his clients, when did they need a response from him? And that allowed him to prioritize his time based on what was most important to the client, not based on what he preferred or what guess he was making about how urgent it was. So we talked about priorities, and we talked about your perfect day and time blocking. And we talked about trying to make that time to focus. And I've got a bonus for you in today's lesson. It's what I call the two-minute power tool. The two-minute power tool, reflect and plan. This tool is easy and incredibly effective and rarely employed. If you can set aside as little as 2 minutes during your day to reflect and plan, you're going to see better performance. And I'm just going to explain how this works. You take 1 minute to reflect on your day. What went well? What didn't go well, and what could you learn from that? What was missing? The thing that if you had it, the day would have been far better. What was missing for the day? So that's 1 minute, and it's literally 60 seconds. And then 1 minute to plan. So 1 minute to reflect and 1 minute to plan. Tomorrow, as you think about your schedule, what's your big event? What's your don't miss? What's your on-target thing? You better be at the top of your game for X. What is that? Who do you need to connect with? What important task needs to get done tomorrow? Just making the time, just a minute, literally 1 minute, to think about these things. It's going to change the way you think, and it's going to help you get more done every single day. All right, so it's about time for you to be creating your personal action plan. So as you're thinking about your action plan, even if you're in a role where you feel like you have no influence over your time, it's still a great idea to make a plan. It helps you see things you wouldn't otherwise see. It helps you make connections between work requests, and it helps you improve your efficiency at delivery. So let me ask you, where are you spending your time today? And then as you think about it, where should you be spending your time? What plan can you make to take back each hour to be focused on the most important thing for you? And then make some time to reflect and plan. So what is it for you today? How are you going to act? What are you going to do? What can you take away from this that you can put into practice? Maybe you're with the team as you're listening to this. It's time for a conversation about how do we manage our time? How are we doing with priorities? What can we do to be more effective at delivering the right things? Now, you might be interested in learning more or maybe spending some more time on this. I've got a coaching package, a time management coaching package that I can do with you and with your team members too. It's a 4-session program where you'll put these ideas immediately into practice, and I will hold you accountable to follow through. I'll work with you on helping you to see and prioritize and organize the things that you need done. The program's just $199 a person, and you're going to see great results from what you are delivering in just a few sessions. If that sounds interesting, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com. We'll get it started. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.